Good afternoon and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. On today's show, we're having a conversation with three high school students, all from East High, and all are Hmong. I met these three young women this spring at a community cultural event. It was a storytelling festival organized by Keys to Life, a local organization that strives for an inclusive community with arts and cross-cultural experiences like the Storytelling Festival. Anchorage residents from all over the world gathered to tell stories from their culture. There were Alaskans from Mexico, the Philippines, Japan, and China. There were stories from Alaska Natives and from African Americans. And there were these three young women translating the story of a Hmong elder. She spoke in a typical Hmong dialect. Her story was emotional, filled with angst and hardship. She wept as she talked. She told of never having a home, of hard days farming in rugged countryside, of being pushed out and pushed along for many different reasons. These three young women had the task of listening to her story and conveying it in English to an audience of about 300. It was an exceptional moment to watch. I thought they did a great job. I was so moved by witnessing this that I invited the young translators and their elder onto the show today. I wanted to hear Hmong on the radio and let our listeners hear these young women translate the conversation into English. Sadly, the elder is not able to join us today, but I still consider it a great opportunity and a privilege to hear from these three young women. Let me welcome them to Hometown Alaska. First, I'd like to welcome Shua Zhang.
Hello, my name is Shua Zhang, and thank you for having me on here.
Really delighted to have you, Shua. You were one of my main contacts when I was trying to make it happen. I was bugging you and sort of saying, can you reach out to the others? And you did. So thank you so much. So that's Shua. We have Anissa Lee. Hi, Anissa.
Hello, I'm Anissa Lee. I'm very appreciative for coming here. I'm very thankful. Thank you.
I'm thankful too, really. It was a dream that it would all happen and it all came together. And Kashia Zhang. Kashia, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Hi, my name is Kashia, and I'm really glad to be here and for you to have us here to talk about our culture and just our community in general.
That's fabulous. That's the goal of the show. So we do say to our listeners, if you've got questions or comments, you're welcome to call us. I usually share the number a couple of times. I'll put it out there right now. 550-8433 in Anchorage. 1-888-353-5752 around the state, or we can also take an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Okay, so what I wanted to do first, since we're not able to actually translate any language from the elder, we were actually going to have you introduce yourselves in Hmong, right? Let's go ahead and do that. We'll start with you, Kashia. Just introduce yourself in Hmong.
Okay. And that means, hello, my name is Kashia.
In Hmong. And how about you, Anissa?
That means, hello, my name is Anissa Lee.
Okay, and Shua?
That means, hello, friends, family, and cousins. My name is Shua Yi Zhong, and Yi is like middle name, which I don't really heard, never really use.
Okay, and so did you all grow up speaking Hmong at home?
Yes.
With the universal, everyone's shaking their head, yes. Was it your first language?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's kind of like a have to learn because, like, our parents don't really speak English, so we have to learn Hmong to be able to, like, converse with our parents and relatives and grandparents.
Mm-hmm. Do you end up doing a lot of translating for your family?
Yes, a lot.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm. So, like, my parents, they're not really good in English. So they would, like, either have me, like, go here or there with them to, like, translate in English for them if they don't understand it.
Right. And how about you, Anissa? Do you do it, too?
Yeah. I always have to go, like, everywhere with my parents because, like, it's very difficult for them to speak English. So there's, like, no choice, but we just had to go with them to, like, translate for them.
So this idea of translating, even though you did it at a public event for an elder, it's almost something that you do all the time with your families. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember her story? It's a while ago. It was in February. And mm-hmm. my memory was that it was pretty emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any high points from it?
Kashia? Yeah. I remember... She was telling us about how they lived on the mountains and they had to like run away from their like village just to get away from like the war and go to a refugee camp where they barely had any food.
Yeah. And I know that she talked a lot about not having land. I think that came through in the translations. And even just as we were getting ready for the show, we were talking a little bit about that not having land, which would give you some kind of personal identity or geographic identity, I guess, is missing. So, Kashia, could you talk just a little bit about that? We were saying originally the Hmong people came out of China.
Yes, they did. We originated from China, and then the China kind of drove us out. So after that, we were kind of dispersed all over mostly in Thailand and Laos, like on the hills and stuff, on the mountains. We didn't really have land. So like whenever we would introduce that we're Hmong, no one would really know what that is. Like they would ask us if we're Chinese and we're not Chinese.
I've heard it described as an ethnic group, but not a sort of not a geographic group because it's been in so many geographic areas.
Yes, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Because like we don't really have a land to call our own, and we still don't have a land. So many people confuse us with other different ethics of Asians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you're all East High students. Shua, you are a sophomore this year?
Yes, I'm going to be.
Going to sophomore. You started your freshman year. Where did you go to elementary school here in Anchorage?
Well, I wasn't here in Alaska when I was in elementary. I was in California.
What part?
Fresno.
Okay. And did you have family there?
Yes, I did.
And what got your family to move to Alaska?
Well, because it was like really hot down there. The population is big, and like it's really hard to find a job. So then my parents, when they came up here to because my brother, his girlfriend moved up here. So when they were going to get married. So my parents liked it, Alaska. Like, the weather's nice. It's not super hot like California. And there's, like, a better chance of us. There's more jobs open up here. So they decided to move here.
For economic opportunity.
Yes. And, a better life.
Yeah. Anissa, what's your family story? Were you born here or were you born elsewhere and then moved here?
I was born in Thailand, but, like, my parent decided to follow the elders. So my dad's side, they moved to the United States and lived in Alaska because like it's more like good for us, I guess. Like
mm-hmm.
It's very helpful. Like we need the help that we can get to. So we just decided to move to Alaska. I haven't went to like in the lower 48 before. I have lived in Alaska with like almost the rest of my life.
Where did you go to elementary in Anchorage?
I went to Tyson Elementary School.
Mm-hmm. And what about junior high?
Clark.
Clark, okay. And then on to East.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Kashia, were you born in Alaska?
Yes, born and raised.
So what's your family's story? Where did they come from?
My family, they came from Laos. They came here after the Vietnam War ended, which was the end of the Secret War, too. So around like the 70s, 1970s. They came to California, and then like they kind of, because of the, the factories and the air wasn't like, they were more polluted. And
my mom of California were they in?
Fresno, Sacramento, Merced. And like it was like polluted there. The air was more polluted and my mom was like really sick.
She was having struggles with the air.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So they decided to move up here, and which my mom is better now.
Good.
And that's kind of like why they moved up here.
Mm-hmm. So did the economic opportunities bear out, Shua, as your family found good work
here?
Yes,
my family is, like, way better up here. Because down there, my two older brothers, they were in college but still couldn't get into a job. But up here, my older brother works. My two older brother works. My sister works. My sister-in-law's work. My mom works. Everybody works.
Everybody's
now
working.
Yeah, so it's like
what kind of jobs do they have?
My mom, she works at that military place over there.
A military store?
Yeah, or something like that. I'm not sure.
On the base somewhere? Uh-huh.
My brothers, I'm not so sure where they work at, but I know one of my brother works at the airplanes or
aviation like, or yeah. the airport.
Yeah, the airport. He works over there.
Uh-huh.
And my sister, she works at a Chinese restaurant, and then so do I. And my other sister-in-law, she works at Fred Meyer, and one of them works at McDonald's.
Wow, so everybody's working. How about you, Anissa? What's going on work-wise and economic opportunity-wise for your family?
Well, my family are all working, but except for my mom, because she's staying home and taking care of my younger siblings. So mostly all of my family were all working, including me, too.
And what's your job?
I work at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And how about you, Kashia? What's going on? You were born here, so your family was already settled here. So yeah. We don't know if they came for economic opportunity as much or family connection.
Well, it is a... Because, yeah, it's true. Alaska has a lot of job opportunities. So, like, they kind of came up here for that reason, too. And my dad works, but my mom doesn't work because she has health issues. So mm-hmm. she's home watching the kids and us.
Yeah. And also, before we sat down, I learned that you come from large families. So Kashia, how many siblings do you have?
I have 13 siblings, 7 brothers and 6 sisters.
Wow. Is it hard to knock elbows with everybody in such a
yes.
big family? It's tiring, huh?
Yes.
And where are you in the birth order? Are you oldest, middle?
14 of us. I'm the 10th child. I'm more on the younger side.
Yeah. So many of your siblings are probably out of the house by now.
Yes.
And they're in Alaska?
Most of them are.
And have they found good economic opportunity here?
Yeah.
So things have gone well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So back to the... Don't want to leave that event that we were where we were first where I first met you and first saw you. I wanted to ask you, how was it to do that translation up in front of a group of people? Was it intimidating? Was it easy? I know you did a lot of conferring back and forth. Anissa, go ahead.
It was like very I was like nervous because I was scared that I can't translate because in Hmong there's not word in English, and in English there's not word in Hmong, so it's kind of difficult for us to like translate if there's like no word to similar as the word that we're thinking.
Right.
So we had to like kind of make up some word quickly as we can.
On the spot,
mm-hmm.
under the gun, so to speak. Yeah. Can you think of an example of that? The kind of word where there really isn't the English word for the Hmong word that the elder might have used, but you had to come up with something. I know it was back in February. It might be hard to remember. Oh. Shua?
Luka, which is like a basket-ish, which you put like, if you go farming, you'll put vegetables or stuff in there, or like other important needs that you need to put in there. But we're not really so sure what the English word for that is.
Do you remember what you used?
Mm.
Maybe basket, huh?
Yeah.
The closest thing you could think of, yeah.
And also, it was really hard to translate because in Hmong language, there's two type of language. There's mm-hmm. Hmong Jo and Hmong Da, which is Hmong White and Hmong Green. Mm-hmm. And I am Hmong White, and she spoke in Hmong Green, so it was kind of hard to translate. It's kind of hard to understand her accent in Hmong Green, but actually, it's not that hard to.
Once you're listening for it.
Yes.
So would Hmong White and Hmong Green be different dialects or just different pronunciations?
Kind of different pronunciations because like they have a more different not so like they have that actually weird accent mm-hmm. that it's just kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. Anything else about that event? I mean, it was a big crowd. It was a big auditorium. I remember you guys conferring quite a bit with each other and then kind of settling on, okay, yeah, that's it. And then one of you would say it. Anything else about that? That was, my heart went out to you because I could tell it was challenging, but I also thought you were doing a really great job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really liked it. This is Shua. Mm-hmm. And I really liked the event. It was really fun to listen to other cultural stories, like the African-American stories.
The special yes. guest, with a woman that was a storyteller from, I think California maybe, right? Mm-hmm. That was kind of a guest.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, she was amazing. And did you go to any of the other, there were Japanese stories. I was sitting in the Philippine story. Mm-hmm. I could hear the people in the Mexican classroom that was listening to Mexican stories just laughing and just really mm-hmm. having a great time. So it was actually a really great event.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you guys go? Did you go to any of them? Or did you just do your event?
No, we listened to the African-American stories.
we didn't went anywhere because, like, Miss Lillen, our teacher, she told us to stay in our position because, like, she didn't want to
lose. She didn't want to lose you.
Yes. So we had to stay still.
Because you had a job to do.
Yeah.
Right, right. Let me think. I want to see if we talked about how you felt about it. I wondered if you guys were close to this elder. Did you know her well in the community, or was it somebody you just met that day?
Well, this is Shua, and I know her. She is my bulo. It's kind of like a grandma-ish, but not really.
Like a godmother or an auntie?
She's like a person, like a grandma, like an elder, but then we call them by a certain name.
Yeah, okay. That we respect them a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So you knew her, but you two, Anissa and Kashia, you did not know her?
I've seen her.
You know of her.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a new time together to be with her trying to do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How did it feel at the very end? Did you feel like you had done a good job?
This is Kashia, but yeah, I feel like we did a really good job translating her story, even though it wasn't word by word. It was like the moral of the story that was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. By the way, if you're just joining us, I should let you know what this conversation is. I'm here in the studio with three students from East High School who I saw in spring translating Hmong into English at a big community event. I think it was at the BP Energy Center.
Yes.
It was a storytelling festival, and many cultures from around Anchorage were there telling stories. And I just was really impressed by these young women and their ability to, under the pressure of that event, to go ahead and do this translation. So I'm in the studio with Shua Zhang.
Yes.
And Anissa Lee. Mm-hmm. And Kashia Zhang, and I'm going to throw out our phone numbers. I don't know if people will have questions about Hmong culture, but they might, or they may have been at that event and saw you. We welcome your calls at 550-8433 or an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So let me think. I wanted to sort of shift over into kind of everyday life at East High, because that's where you live. I know you're out of school by just a few days right now. But let's talk a little bit about what life at East High has been like. Is there a large Hmong community at East High?
This is Shua. And from what I know, it's kind of a lot, but East is really diverse. So, yeah.
So you have friends from all different cultures there?
Yes.
I know that I have heard that, and I think that, you know, this part of Anchorage is one of the most diverse parts of Anchorage. Mm-hmm. Have you met people, and anybody can answer this, but from different cultures that you've really gotten close to at East High?
Go ahead, Shua. And so I never knew there was like a Samoan kind of race, but ever since I was in Alaska, yeah, I know now.
There are many Samoans in Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I made friends with a lot of them through mainly sports.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What sports have you played, Shua?
I've played volleyball, badminton, basketball, softball, running, and a lot more.
All at East High?
Yes. And not at East High, but at East, I did cheer. So I did
cheerleading?
Yes.
Okay. Mm.
But then the other sports, I did it at my other old schools.
At Clark and at Tyson.
California.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm mixing. Who was it that went to?
Oh, Anissa.
Yeah. And so how about you? Have you made connections at East with people from different cultures?
I did tell you before, because I didn't move out in Alaska before. So like when I go to elementary school, I already know that like there's a lot of different.
You grew up with these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like fine with it. Like I'm used to it. Like I'm not shocked or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of variety and a lot of knowledge. You have a lot of knowledge because you live and go to school with people that are different from you.
Yes.
Yeah. How about you, Kashia?
Well, I get along with everyone.
Because you're just a nice person.
Yes. But yeah, there's a, I get along with like people I play sports with because, you know, teamwork.
What sports do you play?
I play soccer for East.
Oh, so on the varsity or the junior varsity or
JV?
JV. And do you have a particular position?
I played midfield and forward striker.
So a lot of running.
Yeah.
Wow, that's intense. Well, we're going to take a tiny break here for just a minute, and we'll be right back. We'll talk a little bit more about East High and maybe popular culture and how you guys navigate that and what you like and what you don't like, and maybe even food. We'll talk food. So I'm Kathleen McCoy, and you are listening to Hometown Alaska.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Today we're sort of celebrating some high school students from East High that I encountered at a storytelling festival where they were translating the story of a Hmong elder, and it was a tough story. It was emotional. It was difficult, and I felt like they were really on the spot, and they did such an excellent job that it was my goal to get them on the show with the elder and talk a little bit more. And we weren't able to get the elder, but we were lucky enough to have these three young women. So we're talking to them about their life. We have Shua Zhang, Anissa Lee, and Kashia Zhang, all students at East High. And in this segment of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about the International Club, which was perhaps how they were picked to do this job at the storytelling festival. Kashia, do you have some memory of that, how that all came together?
They were doing voluntary work, and I was like, this seems like a good time to volunteer for something that seems really interesting. And when we got there, we were just helping around, and at first I didn't know that we were gonna translate.
Oh, you didn't know until that day?
I didn't know. I don't know about Anissa and Shua, but Miss Leland asked me on the spot to help translate with them.
Oh, that might have explained that sort of deer in the headlights look that you had. That's what I mean. I was impressed with how serious it was when you were doing this. Yeah. Well, what is the International Club? I'll start with you, Anissa. What is the International Club at East High?
Well, it's about culture. Like, there's lots of different races in that club. Like, we get to know other races, and we get to involve with them. Like,
is it big? Is it a popular club?
It's not really popular. I don't really know.
You think there's 25 people in it?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Maybe more, but for me, we meet the International Club, like, every Tuesday. So we always have a meeting on Tuesday, but, like, when I enter to that club, there's like mostly Hmong people.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are joiners, maybe. You like to join things?
Like, we're like, if one people go in there, then we tell the another person, then they all come, then the other person tell that other person, then they all come too. So when we enter there together, we're all like, I know you, you know me. We're all like, oh, wow.
It's called networking, right?
Yeah.
What is the mission of the... I know you meet people of different cultures, so it sounds like there are many Hmong members, but do you have a community service component to the club? And who wants to answer that?
This is Shua.
Okay.
And so the International Club, it's like a diverse group of ethnicity of other kids that join. And like the mission of it, it's just to like maybe get involved and do volunteer work and meet new people and like get involved and, you know, like just communicate, like be able to communicate with other people that you might not have never known before and other ethnicity.
So you do community service because, Kashia, you were talking about community mm-hmm. service. What kinds of community service do you get involved in? Is it off campus or is it always on campus?
This is Kashia, and it's like, sometimes it's on campus, but I'm pretty sure most of the time it's off campus for like more like the community and what we can do to like mm-hmm. kind of insert our service and just our ideas to help.
What kind, besides the translation, what sorts of community service have you been involved in?
For international club, they've been doing like they've been helping out at the what's the food place called?
The food bank.
Yeah,
the food bank of Alaska.
Yeah.
So they've been volunteering there.
Mm-hmm. The food bank of Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And
I guess this happens during the school year. In the summer, maybe it's not so active.
It was just during the school time. Mm-hmm. Well, like when we're just like freshmen, so we're like, you know, trying to fit into everything with other people. So like Miss Lillian, our teacher, tell us to like to go, but like we're kind of busy on sports, so we wanted to go, but like at the same time we want to be like with in school to able to have like scholarship. Because
for your future,
yes,
you're thinking about you need to show that you contributed to the community.
Mm-hmm.
For your future opportunities in education, maybe?
Yes.
Ah, okay, okay. That does bring up an interesting topic. Are you all thinking about, I know Shua and Anissa are sophomores. Kashia is a junior, which is the time you start thinking about college. Are you starting to think about college, Kashia?
Yeah, I've been thinking about college since, I think, freshman year of high school, because, like, you gotta get all your credits and everything in order to, like, get to the college you want.
Right. What are you thinking of when you grow up? What do you see yourself doing? Do you have a profession in mind?
Yeah, I do. I'm kind of leaning towards, like, sports management or, like, anything that includes managing or, like, I'm really into sports right now. So, like, I've been doing research on sports management.
So what kind of careers are there? I mean, in other words, you'd be attached to maybe like a franchise, like a mm-hmm. team.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have staff that manage the team and manage all the logistics and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Do you see yourself as a coach?
Yes, I do.
Ah, you like coaching. And you mentioned teamwork. So is that sort of kind of an important thing for you?
Yeah, it is.
So did you watch all the Olympics and all that stuff? I mean,
I did watch some part of the Olympics, but I watched the league of the soccer because I'm more into mm-hmm. soccer right now.
Okay, right, which is an international, mm-hmm. really popular international sport.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't have ambitions to play professionally as a soccer. No, but you're looking for a way to have a career that attaches you to sports, especially maybe soccer.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anissa, let's talk about you. What are you thinking about? Have you gotten there yet in terms of after East High?
Yes, I have. Like, there's like lots of things that I want to become or want to do in the future. Like my parents, they really want like us to like finish high school and then go to college. Like they're just trying to help us to like achieve our goals. So like my goal was like to be like pediatric nurse.
Like what?
A pediatric nurse.
Oh, pediatric nurse. Okay.
But like it's kind of hard to get the job too, but it's like I'm pushing myself to able to have that job. Like I'm working very hard, like staying after school, finish all my work. But, like, at the same time, I want to be, like, something else. Like, having fun with the world instead of just staying in, like, a business.
Study
yeah.
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'm trying to go out and have fun instead of just, like, staying home, doing chores, doing homework.
So, does it feel like you have to do a lot of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, it occurs to me, have you ever job shadowed a pediatric nurse?
No.
That might be a fun thing to try to do, to really see, do I really like what a pediatric nurse does? How did you choose pediatric? Do you like kids? Is that the main thing?
So, like, since when my mom was pregnant in 2014, she gave birth in 2014 for my little sister, Angel. So I always had to go with her to translate. So then there's, like, one time I asked the nurse, is she, like, she told me about herself, like, what she's working for. So, like, I was getting involved with it, like, I like doing this job, even though, like, I hate babysitting.
Uh-oh.
I'm, like, these type of person, like, my siblings are annoying, but I love them at the same time. But
right.
like, when I go see other people's, like, babies, oh, they're so cute and adorable. So I feel like when I see kids, like, it just makes me, like, feel happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be, like, a pediatric nurse to help little kids. No, just be a pediatric nurse, then go to college.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you'd have to go to nursing school, which is generally, I think, a 4-year college.
12 years.
Nursing is 12 years.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think
so. Yeah, because So it might be like 4 years of like college.
She probably told you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So like, and then like 4 years like medical school, then like 2 years like of other stuff too. So like, it's depend on yourself. Like,
sure, how far you want to go, or how much responsibility you want to have.
Mm-hmm.
So it might. It sounds like she might have even been a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant, even.
Yes.
You know, which would take more education. Wow, that's an ambitious, long road. I think that's great. You know, both of those jobs sound very realistic and, you know, possible. Definitely possible. How about you, Shu? What are you thinking of?
Well, so right now I'm focusing on school and my future dream is like to become a nurse practitioner, a pediatric nurse practitioner.
Oh my gosh, similar to Anissa.
Yeah. So I've been doing many stuff to try to help me get into that. I've been taking honor classes. I've been getting involved in other sports and other stuff to try to manage stuff and just be able to take classes that will be able to help me to become that person I want to be and to be able to help my family.
You know, it's really interesting. I hear in Anissa this idea of, yes, I want to be a grown-up, but I also want to have time to play.
Yes.
Because you're only young once, you're only in high school. Once. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that tension, Shua?
Yes, a lot of time.
Yeah. So what do you think the answer is? I mean, you're the senior person here, Shia. How have you managed to balance the drive for the career and doing everything that you need to get into college and all that, and also having fun?
Well, it's more like time management, but like if I know, like, because like the job I want to become is like kind of like a hobby that I like too. So like that's
so it's
already
little,
included in the job.
Ah, see, that's an interesting idea. Like I know what I like to do, so I'll try to get a career along the lines of the thing I like to do. Yeah. Let me think. I want to look at my list of questions here and see what we. I was interested to learn that you two of you are in an internship entrepreneurship class. So who we're talking about? Anissa and Shua.
Yes.
Tell me about that class and why that was. This is summer school, right?
Yes.
Are you doing it for extra credit?
Well, yes. Summer school is what we do for extra credit to try to get ahead. Mm-hmm. And like, so when we are failing in one class, maybe we'll have the extra credit to help us.
Mm-hmm.
And entrepreneurship in that class, we talk about like marketing and all those other stuff of business and like how to try to get people,
customers coming to your like,
to try
stuff.
To
come
buy
to your store.
Stuff, yes.
So this is at the King Career Center.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a summer class. It goes from what, 8:30 in the morning to what?
From 8 to 1:45.
We had to get you out early today to get you on the radio, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you just started this class, so you're really just learning.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sort of wondering whether you think you might want to go into business. That's different from pediatric nursing, for example.
Yes.
Have you thought about, and do you know people who have businesses that kind of gave you this idea? Or what attracted you to entrepreneurship?
Well, this is sure, and there wasn't, there's not anybody that I know, maybe not anybody that I can think of, but well, during yesterday, we had like a tour of different classes of what to do, and it seemed really fun. Like I wanted to try something new. I didn't want to just stick to the same thing that I've been doing my whole entire life. I want to try something new and see if I like it, and it's not that bad actually.
It was your day one, right?
Day two.
Okay, so a little exposure. How about you, Anissa?
Well, like I have been going to like UAA. Is that UAA Junior Fellows?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Is that through Clark?
Yes.
Okay.
So I went there when I was in seventh grade. And so we have like Dr. Nelson. Her name is like Dr. Nelson. So she's like a business worker.
A business professor at UAA.
Yes.
I forget what her first name is, but I...
Terry Nelson.
Dr. Terry Nelson. She has made a bridge between Clark Middle School and UAA's business school, right?
Yes. Like we go there like every 2 weeks Saturday. So like, whenever we go there, there's like a new person that comes and help us to make our portfolio to like make us what do we want to do in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And like they help us. Like there's like different people from different places. come and like help us, support us, tell us what to do. Like they don't tell us what to do, but like
show you possibilities.
Yes,
right.
Like, there's like this is good for you. Like
they just, you need this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna just remind folks if you've just tuned in, this conversation is with three young women from East High School. They're all Hmong, and I saw them publicly perform translation of a story told by one of the elders of the Hmong community, and so they were. Taking her words and putting them in English for an audience of about 300. So we have Shua Zhang, Anissa Lee, and Kashia Zhang. And if you have questions or comments or thoughts about our show today, we welcome you to give us a call at 550-8433 or email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. I wanted to make sure we explored some of your interests. We've gotten a little taste of that, but what hobbies? Do we have hobbies here? Let's start with you, Shua.
Well, my main hobby is sports. I love sports. That's what I've been doing my whole life. My family is all about sports.
Oh, so. Oh, really? So your whole family is involved?
Yes. Not my whole family, but yes, my dad, my older siblings, and my sister.
Do they come and watch you when you compete?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite sport, or it's just all of them?
Well, my two favorite sports are volleyball and badminton, but mm-hmm. then other than that, I love all the other sports, too. And cheer was a new thing for me this year as a freshman, and I really like it. I actually thought I wouldn't like it. I thought I was like, that was too girly for me.
Too girly?
But when Anissa, my friend, she dragged me to do it with her, actually, I like it. It's not
bad.
Well,
it's pretty athletic, right? Mm-hmm. And I think they also compete.
Yes.
So what's the squad at East High like? What, do they have a name?
The cheer team?
Yeah.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, it's just football cheer or basketball cheer.
Yeah.
And so you cheered for both of those teams?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And is the squad big?
Yes.
Mostly basketball. Basketball
yeah.
cheer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People don't usually come out for a football cheer because it's outside. It rains. So people don't usually like to cheer.
It's too cold.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so during basketball, they come in because it's indoor.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Anissa, how about your hobbies outside of school?
Same as Shua, because I love playing sports.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I enjoy playing sport. It makes me feel like happy. Like, whenever I play sports, I don't, like, feel bad for myself. I just feel happy. Like, I get involved very good.
So life gets good. There's a nice flow mm-hmm. to life. And, you know, they talk about endorphins. When you're really active, you get all these endorphins that
yeah.
make you kind of happy. Right. Mm-hmm. So you benefit from that. Yeah. How about you, Kashia? What are your interests?
Mm-hmm. Well, my interest is I'm really interested in music and, like, anything in the creative field and soccer. I love soccer.
Tell me about we did talk about soccer, so I want to hear more about the creative side of things. Are you talking about graphic arts? Are you talking about painting? And you also mentioned music. Do you mm-hmm. play, or is it that you like to listen to certain kinds of music?
I play. I play the ukulele. I could play the guitar and a little bit of
piano. We should have had
piano.
You bring it so you could play a tune for us.
Well, and then I'm into, like, kind of art, so, like, just drawing, sketching in general.
Huh. Well, and you do it all on your own, or have you taken classes that kind of guide you and give you...
I've started on my own, but now I've, like, taken classes.
Very awesome. Have any of you taken classes up at UAA? Because I know it's probably too hard. Your schedules are too full.
So last year, we went to a summer camp. It's a UAA summer camp?
The UAA English Language Learner Academy or something like that uh-huh. with Mrs. Moulton.
And what was that for?
It was for...
Summer school credit.
Yeah, for credit for high school. 0.5 for language
class.
Arts. And, no, not each class.
It was language arts?
And math.
And math.
0.5 for math.
Very cool. Well, we actually are getting a couple calls, so I think we will try to welcome them on in a moment. Let's see. I know I wanted to ask you guys a little bit about gardening. a little bit about gardening. Okay. We still have some calls coming, but they're not quite ready. I worked briefly at UAA and wrote a story about an anthropology student who was writing her master's thesis on the Hmong community and gardening. And basically, she said in the article that there's just a great appreciation for fresh food, fresh
yes.
vegetables, and that, you know, even just taking things from the grocery store doesn't feel quite fresh enough, you know? So I wanted to know whether, in the article that she wrote, she talked about gardening being primarily women's work. Is mm-hmm. it? And I'm wondering whether you're seeing that reflected in your own families. Does your family have a garden? Who should we start with, Shua?
Oh, yeah. So my family, back in Thailand, yes, it was mainly the, it's mainly the women's. But here in Alaska, my dad loves farming. And even when I was in California, my dad likes to farm. He would plant vegetables like tomatoes and eggplants and green onions and cilantros and a lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's just, and you pick it fresh, which is not like just at the store. You eat things fresh. You kill chickens. They're fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everything very, very fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So does your family have a plot?
Yes, they do.
Right near where you live?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess right now is the season for putting everything in, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So is that going? Mm-hmm. And do you, Shua, do you end up helping? Is that something that they, or does your dad really just take care of it?
Well, sometimes if I have time, I would, but mainly it's just my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to ask the others, too. If Anissa, do you do that sort of work, or does someone in your family do that sort of work?
My mom does. She loves, like, gardening in our, like, yard. So, like, it's good for us, too, because, like, we get, like, vegetable free instead of going to the store and
right.
buying it.
Right.
So, like, every year, like, around this time of the month, so my parent will, like, go, like, dig the ground and put seeds
yeah.
and cover it up. Then, like, until, like, they grow, like, a lot, then they would, like, pack them up and go cook it for us.
Yeah. You know, we have a caller, so I'm going to welcome Marilyn on Hometown Alaska. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi there. I just wanted to say hi, and I hope I get their names right. Tashua, Anissa, and Kashia.
Good.
And say, yay, T-Birds. My kids went to East. And I'm so happy to hear the three of you speak and tell us about your culture and tell us about your sports activities and music activities at East. I just think it's wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Mm. Yeah, so glad to have you here in Anchorage with us. And Kathleen, I hope that in the future you'll put on more shows like this.
Oh, okay. It's good to know that you like it.
Oh, I just love it. So three cheers for the three of you, and keep up the good work. And it sounds like you're wonderful members of the community and your family, and I just so appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is awesome. So thanks a lot, Marilyn. And I'm also going to, I've got Kimberly on the phone from Wasilla. Hi, Kimberly.
Girls.
Hello.
Hey. I was very curious about where your families are from and in their life prior to arriving in Anchorage or California for that matter. Just very curious about which areas they're traditionally from.
Okay, we can run down the list and see how they can answer. Kashia, let's begin with you. Where does your family really originate from? Do you know?
Yeah, they're from a place, I think it was in Thailand, Saraburi. Yeah.
Say it again, Chua.
Saraburi, I think that's
hard to say.
Yeah,
so it's a part of Thailand, a region in Thailand. So
yeah.
So if you go back a couple generations, mm-hmm. your family is from there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. How about, Shua, do you know where your family originally, when you go back a little bit?
I'm not so sure, but I know it's like Laos, somewhere in Laos.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Anissa, what about you?
Thailand. I'm pretty sure it's in Thailand, but like, you know, Bangkok, Thailand?
Mm-hmm. Bangkok?
Yeah, Bangkok.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's like a city, right? How like Anchorage is.
It's a big city, yeah.
Wasilla and Palmer, you know how like, and Hmong people, we live in a small village, right? So whenever, if we want to go buy something at the city, like Anchorage, we will have to walk or like ride horse or drive motorcycle and come to Bangkok to able to buy stuff to our family, then go back to the village again. How like we Anchorage to Wasilla, the Wasilla to Anchorage.
Pretty tough. Pretty mm-hmm. tough. So lots of walking. We have to take a little break here. We have one more break that we have to fit into the show. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Hometown Alaska, and I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy. Today we're talking with three young women from East High that I saw translating at a public event, and I thought, what an opportunity to bring them into the studio and hear what life as a young Hmong person, a young Alaskan, but living in both cultures would be like. And so it's been really fun. We've, you know, talked about everything from favorite sports and hobbies and ambitions for the future. But I thought it might be a good idea if we talk just a little bit about the reason they're in the United States. Really goes back to the Vietnam War. And I asked our guests whether they had family stories that might connect them to that war, which led to sort of the diaspora of Hmong people coming to the United States. So just one more time, I'll throw out our numbers, 550-8433, or email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. But let's delve a little bit into the history of the Vietnam War and how it might have shaped these individual families. I'm going to start with Kashia. What do you know from your own background, Kashia?
What I've heard from my grandpa, from my mom's side, he was in the war himself, and they've always described it as like difficult, and like it was very hard running through the jungle and getting away from people who wanted to kill them, and like they had to survive on their own and like their free will, like just to like go to a refugee camp and cross the river.
The Mekong River.
Yeah. I did a little sort of searching around, and I read that in the early 1960s, partially as a result of the Vietnamese invasion of Laos, the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, Special Activities Division, began to recruit, train, and lead indigenous Hmong people in Laos to fight against the North Vietnamese Army. And this was called the Secret Army, and you referred to that.
Yes.
Is that what your grandfather called it?
Yes, the Secret War. Not many people know about it because, like, the government, well, they say it, the government tried to like cover that up and say that like we weren't a part of that.
Right.
So like not many people know about us.
Right. And then basically the Lao people did not want the Hmong people in their country anymore. Mm-hmm. So they weren't welcome there. So that's, I believe, how you got to Thailand, so many refugee camps in Thailand. Anissa, do you have any history in your family that goes back to the Vietnam War?
Well, I don't really know, but like what I heard is that like and back then when people had babies or kids, they would have to kill their own child.
Yes.
Because the child would cry, so the enemies would come and kill them. So they have no choice to like just like kill their own child.
And this is a story that was passed on to you from family or from just, it's just sort of
hearing by other people.
Kind of like legend. You don't know anybody that actually did that, but this is the story that people tell, which is makes it a very horrifying experience if it had to happen, right?
Yes.
So that's a story that was passed down to you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Shua, how about you? Anybody in your family?
Yes. Well, so my real grandpa, he was a part of the Vietnam War, and he actually died during the war. And so my grandma had to marry my real grandpa's brother for the better sake of the family. And so that's like a Hmong tradition. And so part of the war, my mom, she was still a little kid during that time. And she was like my grandma from my mom's side. Because my mom cried a lot too, right? And so they were like going to kill my mom, like giving her some medicine, some kind of poison.
Mm-hmm.
But then they actually didn't do it. So that was a really good choice that they didn't do it, or else I probably wouldn't be here.
Right. So that's a story that was passed on to you by
yes.
your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Wow. You know, talking about tradition and legends being passed down, one of the discussions we had before the show started was expectations for young Hmong women, especially going forward in their So all these young women we've talked to today all plan on careers, but there's also marriage, right? And there are expectations in the Hmong culture about marriage. And so I think we should just lay those out because people might not know. Who would like to start? I'm open to, or I can, you want to start, Anissa?
Well, in our Hmong culture, for ladies or young women like us, we have to learn how to cook and do laundry and like clean the house and like learn as like a woman does. For men, they don't like really have to learn about those stuff because like we had to respect our husband. So we're the one that who had to be like do everything for our family. So as a, if a daughter go marry another people, like a son of their like Hmong, then we have to like do chores for the his side.
Before you marry, you go there and do chores or?
No.
No.
Like when you go live with them, you have to go like wake up, like cook, do all these laundries and all these chores. Cause like if you don't do those kind of chores, his side of his parent will like tell him that like why you're not telling your wife doing all this.
So pressure on the son.
Yeah. So the
to get better performance from the wife.
Mm-hmm. So he will come and pressure the his own wife. Then like sometimes some people will get argue, they will divorce because like that.
Uh-huh.
So in our culture, there's like these like very old parents. So they want everything to be perfect. But nowadays, I feel like Hmong people, those parents are kind of like more like new fashion now. So like they don't like care a little bit, but like they do. But like they want us to have like a best life, and like they don't want us to be lazy. So like they will always like yell at us and, like do this,
push
do
you,
that,
push
do
you.
This.
Uh-huh.
If you don't do this, this is gonna happen in your future life, and you will get married, and then you won't know how to do
this.
Oh,
like if you don't know how to do the laundry, then when you're married, you won't know how to do the laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I everybody's shaking their heads that they have this same knowledge and expectation. Mm-hmm. What I'd like you to speak about a little bit is what does that feel like? I mean, how do you navigate that? You live in a we just have the Me Too movement, which is, you know, are you guys familiar with that?
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah, it is a women throwing off people who are their bosses who, you know, sort of made them do things they didn't want to do for their careers. It's a little bit different than what you're talking about for sure. But how does it feel to know that that's an expectation for you? And how about you, Kashia?
Well, it kind of put a lot of pressure on me to do like better and everything that my parents always tell me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like just you have to like walk the extra mile or do the extra mile when they're telling you to do something.
And you accept and embrace the idea that this is going to make you a better person?
Yes. Well, we have to because like it will make us a better person too.
Mm-hmm. And but do you all three see yourselves marrying into the Hmong culture? Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, lots of. Go ahead, Anissa.
For me, my parent want me to marry a guy that is the same race as me, being like a Hmong guy. But for myself, like I really want to like marry a guy that's different from me, cause like I don't want to like. I have no choice. Like my parent, they will like be upset for me if I go marry another race instead of dating my own race.
Mm-hmm.
But like it was very hard for me because like dating like Hmong boys are like okay, but like I don't want to. Like for me, I just don't want to because like if I marry that Hmong boys, then I had to follow the same direction as my parent tell me to do.
Right.
Then if I don't do that, then I'm gonna get lectured, and then like I'm gonna get like a bad life, like I'm gonna get divorced. So I have to follow what my parents want, even though like I don't want to marry Hmong guys. I have no choice because like I'm a daughter, so I can't do anything as a son. in our culture, a son, like, they can, like, do anything they want.
We really should have a guy here so he could defend himself.
Like, son, I feel like they're very blessed. Like, my parents love my brothers. Like, they do, but, like, they love me too. But, like, mostly pressure on girls because, like, we're the one who's going to other people's house.
I see.
So we don't stay at our house if we're married. We had to go with the guy. So we're going to, like, leave our parents and leave everything behind.
So you have a responsibility to do that well.
Mm-hmm.
How about, because you're shaking your head, and I mean, how do you feel about all this? And you just accept that that's the future you're going to have?
Well, I'm not sure about the marrying the Hmong part, but I'm pretty sure parents want us to, like, marry into our own culture because of, they want the culture to keep going, the, like, full Hmong
right.
kids, like, they want that.
Right.
And to just, like, keep it going, keep traditions going.
Yeah.
And, like, it is true, Hmong boys and, like, sons are just more, like, what's it called? They have more free will than the girls do. Mm-hmm. They're my parents will listen to my brothers more than they will listen to me.
But you don't rebel against that exactly.
Yes,
I mean, you do rebel.
Oh, well, no, I don't.
Right.
It
doesn't feel quite right, but yeah. You try to live within the yeah. expectations. Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Shua?
So for me, being a girl, it's kind of hard because you don't really have as much freedom, but I know that my parents only want the best for me, and I'm pretty sure my parents are fine with me, like, not marrying a guy that is Hmong, but like I know they only want the best of me. They want the best for my future. They probably wouldn't want me to, like, marry another guy that wouldn't probably be the same race as me or wouldn't love me, and it's just kind of hard. Like, for girls, you have to follow some, like, expectations. Like, your parents won't really let you go sleep over they don't let you go sleep over because you're a girl. You're going to get, like, a bad name for you if you go sleep over. Mm-hmm. But the guys, they could do it. They're fine.
I see. So different rules for different genders.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are all of you dating? Is it okay to date in Hmong culture, or is that mm-hmm. something that happens a little bit later? And who can answer? Shua?
Yeah, so for me, Shua, not dating right now, just focusing mainly on school. But the women's and ladies and the girls, they usually marry at a young age. Like, some girls already married at my age, 14, even younger than me, they're already married. Or maybe, yeah, it just depends.
Mm. Do you think you would be able to pursue your academic interests even if you were married? Would that work?
It kind of depends if I have children or not, because it's kind of like a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Anissa?
I have been thinking about getting married.
Oh, he's asking about the dating. Are you dating now, or is that something that can happen now, or is it a little bit later?
Maybe later, because, like, I don't want to get involved with relationship because it's too much pressure, because I have school
yeah.
and other stuff to do more than dating somebody.
Kashia, you're going to get out of having to answer that question. That is the sound of the end of the show. I just really want to thank Shua Zhang, Anissa Lee, and Kashia Zhang for coming on the show and talking so personally about their life. I'd also like to thank Lori Zhang and Kimberly Leland, who helped make this show happen, and Shirley Staten at Keys to Life. All of these community events made this possible. I'll be back as your host next week on Hometown Alaska. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org. Dave Waldron is our audio engineer. I'm Kathleen McCoy, and thanks so much for joining us on Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.